If you will repeat after me, Lord Jesus, I need your ears, your eyes, your heart to perceive what your spirit is about to speak and do inside of me. Amen. Today he was pressuring to go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And it's to identify the new covenant. Now, the old covenant was rules, regulations, and punishment, and blessings if everybody behaved. Right? But the new covenant is in verse 16. This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. And I stress the word I, meaning he will put his laws in their hearts or our hearts. And I will write them on their minds. It's not you that's going to write anything. It's not you that's going to put new laws in your heart. It's not you that has made this new agreement. Agreed? So I want you to just kind of close your eyes for a moment and say, the new covenant was declared by God to be for us by his Son. He will put
his laws in my heart.
He will write them on my mind. And my sins and lawless acts. He will remember no more. Now that's kind of cool. Because it says in verse 17, then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And 18, where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. Are you catching on? Now, if you've got your eraser, I would suggest you get rid of it. If you've got sandpaper or emery cloth or whatever that you're planning to use to scrub your sins away, you're wasting your time. You are totally wasting your time. You can scrub till the cows come home, and they'll come home and go home. They'll be roasted on a spigot and have a nice big barbecue, because that's what you should be doing, for he no longer needs to be sacrificing any animals or anyone else. We've been forgiven. Okay? Now I want to back it up to verse 5. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. Did we not have a body tonight? We took the body of a lamb and we participated. Correct? A body you prepared for me. Verse 6, with burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. You see, St. Paul, I believe, wrote this, and he was very aware of what was going on. He was very aware of the sacrifices and why they were done,
why there were rituals for everything that was done by man. And he's making it clear that the burnt offerings and the sin offerings were not pleasing to Papa. Verse 7, then I said, here I am, it is written about me in the scrolls. Who's speaking?
Jesus,
right? I have come to do your will, O God. Isn't that what he also declared in the garden? Mm-hmm. Not my will, but your will. 8. First, he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them. Clear? Is that clear? It's the second time he says it. There's a reason. Although the Lord required them to be made. Then he said, here I am. I have come to do your will. He set aside the first to establish the second. When you and I make an agreement, a solemn agreement, what happens to the first agreement? It becomes null and void. Correct? If you and I make a marriage contract and it's divorced, it's no longer. It's broken, it's eliminated. But should you decide that you marry a second time, you're going to make a new contract, yes? A new covenant. Verse 10. And by that will we have been made holy. Oh! Have been made, past tense. How many years ago were you made holy? Roughly 2016. Right? Mm-hmm. Roughly. Because they say this is the year of our Lord, until they decide to try to cancel that. Amen? Well, they're trying to get rid of everything that's godly. Okay? But they're not going to win. Because God is not going to be fooled. 10 again. And by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Clear. Not complicated. Is that what your Bible says? Mm-hmm. Okay. 11. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But when this priest has offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since that time he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. He's waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. Now, if you apply that and you put Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father, you have a problem because his enemies are in the earth. But if you apply it to the Jesus being the body of Christ, he is the head and we are the body. Where are the feet of his body? On the earth. And we are walking on serpents and scorpions. Yes? Did you ever try to realize what you walk on when the enemy's around? Verse 14, because by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. We've spoken about this before, but I'm trying to give you a real knockout victory tonight. The Holy Spirit also testifies, verse 15, to us about this. First, he says, this is the covenant I will make with them after that time. How much time did it take? How much time did it take? How many years has it been that the most of the Christians are stuck in the religious realm?
Oh,
hundreds. 2,000.
Yeah, thousands.
A few were able to walk in victory and understood this word. But I can truthfully say that the majority of my background was all religious people mm-hmm. with religious thought patterns and work patterns, trying to get themselves holy, keeping themselves holy by choices and works and programs and sacrifices and going around making all kinds of efforts to eliminate sin, and it doesn't work. I can remember visiting several of the shrines in Canada. And at one particular one, which is built on a mountain in Montreal, there must be hundreds and hundreds of steps. And I remember some family members and I going to visit this particular oratory for St. Joseph's. How many have ever been there? No? I'm the only one. The steps are made out of granite. Going up this incredible steep hill in order to get to the basilica. People would literally be on their knees and literally go up one step at a time with prayers on every step as a sacrifice to eliminate the guilt, the self-condemnation, and the fault-finding that they felt and believed, as if they could get to the top, then everything would be wiped clean. I watched this, I saw this with my own eyes. You say, why? Because that's what they believed. But this covenant, he is making with us, he is saying, I will put my laws in their hearts. I will write them on their minds. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. So if I would have had that word to any one of those individuals going up on their knees, I saw both men, women, and children, especially a lot of older folks, making sacrifices for their sins by efforts in the flesh. You say, well, I didn't see those. That's fine. I am not against these people. I am not trying to expose anybody. I am not putting guilt on anybody. I am saying the religious realm is just another level of the law. It's carried over into many, many hearts. And if you gave them this word, they would look at you like if you've got three heads. How is God going to convince them that their sins and lawless acts, he will not remember them anymore? What is it going to take?
The Holy Spirit.
It's going to take the Holy Spirit, because he's the one that writes the laws. He's the one that puts the new laws in their hearts. And he is the only one that can break these traditions. Now, this might sound a little bit weird, but if you look at the original law keepers, when Jesus came into this realm, how many was he able to finally really convince?
None.
They all ran. They all ran away. When he was arrested, it says they all ran away. Okay? So in reality, not one of them was able to stay except for maybe John. But it says they all ran, so John must have ran too, but then he readjusted. What am I saying? I'm saying that the Son of God preached for 3.5 years, could not really change anybody's heart. He brought miracles, signs, and wonders to them. He even healed the lepers in front of them. And still, they didn't accept him. Their only thought when they saw the man with the withered hand, with all the teachers of the law in the synagogue, and they were all asking him questions, and he said to the man with the withered hand, "Stick out your hand." And he healed the man on a Sabbath, and it says right then and there that they made plans to kill him. That's scary. But I believe that what Jesus did, he's going to do again through his Holy Spirit, and all his enemies will become under our feet. That's what's coming down the highway. The vision about the dancing on the wheat. What does it really mean when the fire increases and increases as the celebration continues?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit's going to be burning the chaff. Okay? Not you, not me. We are going to be obedient to what he's called us to do, no matter what that is. Wherever he asks us to do, even on the job, girl. Even when you're in school, even wherever you are. What I believe is tonight, God is really pressing in to get ready for this Pentecost that we've got coming around the corner. This new Pentecost, I believe, is going to really bring in that fire. The wave that you saw tonight. That's living water, and we jumped in. Ah, what is that really saying? We're willing to take what? Take a risk. Take and jump in. I mean, did you ever consider watching what happens in Hawaii when they do this surfing? And they jump into the wave? Yeah, surfer girl. But, you know, these are examples of what I believe he's preparing us to do. Okay? Verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. That part is awesome. Because most of us walk around with guilty consciences because of our past. And God says, I'm sprinkling your heart with your blood. I'm sprinkling it tonight. And having our bodies washed with pure water. There's your water, girl. Our bodies washed in pure water. Now, you didn't know what scripture that I had in my heart. But the Holy Ghost did. Yes? Mm-hmm. Didn't it say your body's washed? Mm-hmm. What was the vision?
Dove right in.
Yeah, we dove in. What happens when you dive into a huge wave? You get wet. Did you ever conceive how much agitation there's going to be in that wave as it continues its roll?
It's total submission, too.
Huh?
It's total submission, too.
Choice first. Submission is made when you made that choice to dive. Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting, isn't it? Now look at your neighbor. Say, he's forgotten my sin.
It's time I agree.
I'm not going to be dwelling on my old sins. He's forgotten them. So I should too. Hallelujah. He's also cleansed me. And cleansed my conscience. By the sprinkling of the blood. Hallelujah. And I am confident that this living water has been prepared
prepared.
We're going to nosedive into it. For his glory. Amen?
Amen.
Yes, dear.
You know what I thought of when you were talking about going up those stairs?
What?
That I haven't thought about in years. When I lived at home, through Lent, my mother would wake my older sister and myself every morning at 4 o'clock. And we walked to 5:30 Mass every morning through Lent. Walked back home, then went to school, came home, and then at night after supper, we walked back to the church and did the Stations of the Cross.
Yeah.
Three times, because there were three of us, Susan, myself, and my mother.
Mm-hmm.
The first time my mother led it, the second time Susan led it, third time I led it, for 40 days. Now ask me if I was a happy camper. There wasn't one morning that I wanted to get up, and I'd be lying if I said I wanted to.
Yes.
When you spoke about that, the Lord had brought it back to me that this church of the Lord is preparing something awesome, which I don't fully know, but I know it's awesome. There's a lot from what I perceive already. There's some religious latching that's there. And I've questioned what the Lord wants me to do. So I'm going to walk in faith because I believe that his freedom is going to come. And there's certain things, but praise God that I see it. So even though I didn't grow up Catholic, I will confess there were a lot of things that
Well, it's not just the Catholics that made punishment.
Right.
And,
so,
you know, you take the average Baptist or Congregationalists or whatever, they'll fast and they'll just go without food, they'll do all kinds of things, and they look at the Catholics like, so, oh, there's something wrong with them. And the Pentecostals say, well, when the Holy Ghost came in with the charismatic renewal, they didn't even believe that it could be the Holy Ghost, and we all talked in tongues. So what are you going to do with us? So you see, one religious tradition doesn't cancel out the other religious tradition. They're traditions of men based in the law. And God is saying, wait a minute. Take a good look at my word. I've forgotten your sins. I already laid everything on my son. He is the high priest. He took everything on himself. We are free.
Amen.
Do we walk in it?
No.
Part-time. That's what I would like to say. Part-time we're in it. Sometimes my traditions take over. And I sense it and I say, oh my God, here I am in an old pattern. What am I doing? Close your eyes. Put your hand over your heart. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Your word is clear.
Your word is clear.
You said.
You said.
That I'm part of the new covenant.
That I'm part of the new covenant.
And you have put your laws of love
in my heart.
And you have written them there.
And you have written them there.
And my sins and lawless acts.
And my sins and lawless acts.
You will remember no more.
You will remember no more.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Done. Done. Fini. Finished. It's intense to see the finished work and what he's completed in us. Amen?
Amen.
Enjoy the ride.
Is there a Thursday? Is there a Thursday? Is there a Thursday? Is there a Thursday? Is there